Joining us now on the HR&P guest line is Leon Searcy, does some radio for 1010XL in Jacksonville, former offensive lineman for Jacksonville, and a three-time national champion at the U. Leon, thanks so much for coming on. What's the biggest storyline for Jacksonville headed into week one?
Can we get a win? This is the biggest storyline. That's all we're looking for right now. After 15 straight losses, we're just looking for a win right now, to be quite honest with you.
Well, Leon, we appreciate you joining the show. Keenan's one of my boys. He told me you're talking to the best-dressed big man in the history of the NFL, so there's a lot of love coming from Houston for you, and we appreciate you being on the show. I got a question for you because you've been there, done that. You, K-Mac, and those guys, you saw the best of the Jacksonville franchise. This complete overhaul doesn't just revolve around Trevor Lawrence. It obviously starts with Urban Meyer, and it was a less than stellar preseason from his offensive coordinator, Daryl Bevel, and the way he's calling games to Urban getting his feet wet for the first time as a head coach. What's your overall take on the franchise right now in terms of where they are? Did they get everybody right? Everybody, I think the consensus is they got Lawrence right. Did they get Urban Meyer right?
Well, I mean, the verdict is still out on Urban. Right now, because, you know, he hasn't played it. I mean, he hasn't coached any games in the NFL, to be quite honest with you. I mean, he has a track record at the collegiate level, is having the utmost success at the collegiate level wherever he's gone. But, you know, the NFL is another beast. I think the one thing that he did that was prominent to the organization is that he went and got him a bunch of NFL coaches to surround himself with, because it's going to be a learning process for him, because the collegiate level and the NFL level is a little different. You know, the scouting, the free agencies, and the players, the personnel, the roster, the plays, and all that kind of stuff. You want the guys who had that kind of experience. So I think he did an admirable job in getting the right components around him as a coaching staff. And just, you know, we just want to see if he's able to motivate these guys. I mean, you got to understand there was a tremendous overhaul with this roster. When you look at our roster, man, we've got like 22 to 20 new players on the team through the draft and free agency, and this same team that went 1-15 last year. I mean, we had to get rid of a lot of that carnage that was on the team last year to bring in some new blood. So I think he's done an adequate job with that, but it's still up in the air. We got to see, you know, how prolific this offense is going to be with Trevor Lawrence being back there. And Trevor Lawrence can't do it all by himself. I mean, you got to put the right line around him. You got to put the right running game. You got to have the receivers that can, you know, that can stretch the field and get open and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, the verdict is still out on Urban Meyer. The one thing I do like about Urban Meyer, but he reminds me a little bit of a coach that I played with at the University of Miami, and Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson was a stickler on perfection. He always made you feel uncomfortable as a player. And I like the fact that Urban is here to stress these players where they don't feel comfortable with their position, and also the fact that, you know, losing won't be tolerated here in Jacksonville. We'll see how that transcends over the course of the next, you know, 17 weeks in the NFL.
Leon Searcy works 1010XL, former Jacksonville offensive lineman, three-time national champion at DU. You brought up Trevor Lawrence, and look, it's only been the preseason. You knew what he was at Clemson. You knew you were drafting him at number one. You'll have to wait to see what he does in the regular season. But what are the early returns on Trevor Lawrence?
Well, I mean, you know, the first two games, you know, I really wasn't impressed, to be quite honest with you, the first game. And I think it had a lot to do with the play calling and less to do with himself. Listen, I've been watching Trevor Lawrence since his freshman year at Clemson. And the kid is dynamic. I mean, the way he goes through his progressions, the way he's never shaken. He always has the same calm, cool demeanor. He's got the arm strength. He's got he makes all the throws. The first two games, it seemed that we were a little restricted in some of my play calling. I think in the Dallas game is when they opened up. They had him in shotgun, where he was comfortable with it. In Clemson, he made some nice throws. I mean, he completed over 70% of his passes. I mean, he had a couple of touchdowns. I mean, so if that's the Trevor Lawrence we're going to see in the Dallas game that we're going to see in a regular season game, I think Trevor Lawrence's arm and efficiency gives us a couple of games just on his talent alone. But like I said, it's going to be the role players around him. I mean, you can have a once-in-a-generation quarterback at the helm, but if you don't have the components around him, offensive line, I keep saying the offensive line, the running game, and the wide receivers being able to stretch the field and get open, it's not going to make any difference who you have back there. So the guys around him have got to be complementary pieces for him to have the success that he's going to have at this level.
Speaking of the offensive line, from a fan base that's been there and done that with what could be disastrous no matter how high your quarterback pick is, what happened to David Carr when he didn't have an offensive line in Houston, and the fact that he was never the same after being dumped on his butt so many times. In watching and I've watched them in the preseason quite a bit, in watching the Jags, how much are you concerned about the offensive line of the Jags and being able to, you know, keep Trevor Lawrence upright and, more importantly, you know, not get him in a situation that David Carr was in when he was in Houston?
Well, my concerns with the offensive line has to do more exteriorly than internally, because our tackle play has been subpar over the last year and a half. You know, Cam Robinson and Juwan Taylor have not lived up to the build, in my opinion. You know, and I hold the offensive tackle position at a high standard, not only because I played there 11 years, but because I played across from a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame right now, Tony Boselli. And I just think Cam Robinson, Juwan Taylor, it definitely have to step their game up. Now, interiorly, when you look at Linder, you look at Norwell, you look at A.J. Cann, I mean, I think they do an effective job in pass protection. I think they did a more than an adequate job in run blocking, because you, when you have an undrafted free agent and James Robinson, who rushed for over 1,000 yards, any person watching that knows that the meat and potatoes of your run game has more to do interiorly than it does exteriorly. So I think Norwell, Linder, and A.J. Cann did more than an effective job last year, you know, running the ball. But you've got to include those tackles. The tackle play is what concerns me more so than anything else, because, listen, you just look at Joe Burrow. Look at Joe Burrow last year. I mean, he was having a successful year, and then all of a sudden he gets pressure from, I don't know if it's blind side or his front side, and he blows out his knee. And that kind of effect on a quarterback can be lingering. So I'm just hoping that they hold up and protect Trevor Lawrence, because we just don't want that same thing that happened to Burrow last year happen here in Jacksonville.
11-year pro Leon Searcy joining us on the HR&P guest line. Your receivers, Chark, Marvin Jones, Shenault, who has the biggest year?
Well, you know what? I mean, listen, this is Chark's. The contract year, and, you know, essentially your contract year is usually your best year. And I think Chark, since he's been here over the last couple of years, I mean, he hasn't had an efficient quarterback. I mean, you're talking about Mike Glennon, you're talking about Luton, you're talking about Minshew, and I love Minshew, mustache and all. But he's not going to be as an efficient quarterback as Trevor Lawrence is going to be. So hopefully he'll have a banner year. You take Marvin into the equation. I mean, he's a veteran quarterback. He knows how to stretch defense, knows how to read defenses, find the holes in the zone. And I think, hey, listen, I think LaVisca Chenault is going to have an outstanding year. He's a tough-nosed, hard receiver that you can play in the slot. You can rotate him, move him out, and all that can create mismatches. Now, I'm going to tell you this now. Losing ATN really is going to really hurt this offense, because I call him a one-quarter hitter, which means that he's the type of guy that one-quarter hitter is actually somebody that used to knock you out with one punch. But he's the type of guy that if you get him in open space, he creates mismatches. Whether it be a linebacker or it be a safety, I mean, this kid scored 78 touchdowns in the ACC. So losing him is a big loss. But hopefully, we can utilize LaVisca Chenault in the same capacity that we're going to use ATN. So we'll see. The verdict is out. You know, I remain. You know, always. I'm off season optimistic when it comes to the Jaguars, until they play a game. So it's going to be very important that they play well in this game Sunday against the Texans.
Well, in regards to that game, we have spurred the phrase here, you need to embrace the suck, because the rebuild involves highest draft picks possible, maximizing draft picks. With that being said, we looked at the schedule. There weren't a whole lot of games where the Texans fans could have hope. How do you see it playing out with the people that think that the Texans have hope in week one against the Jags?
Well, listen, we wrote the script for Embracing the Suck last year, okay? So all y'all have to do is go and buy the transcript on Embracing the Suck, because we had all kind of admiration for the team last year when they won their first game against the Colts, and we had already ridden them in the playoffs, but then we lost 15 straight. So I don't know if that's in your future, but I'm going to tell you this right now. It doesn't feel good. Trust me, it does not feel good.
Leon, one more before we let you go. What's the Jacksonville perspective of the Houston Texans? Everybody around the country, kind of the laughingstock of the league, the joke of the league. Does Jacksonville share that same opinion?
Well, listen, y'all owned us for the last 2 years and a half, so, I mean, we can't have that kind of – we can't have that. Y'all owned us for the last, what, 2 or 3 years? I mean, so I even said this on the radio. I said this on the radio earlier today. I said, listen, you got although you've got issues with your roster, but you've got a veteran-savvy team. You got a veteran-savvy team. And in my experience with veterans is that when they go into games, they're going to play and they're going to compete. So this is not going to be a cakewalk come Sunday. Jacksonville's had to come into Houston and win that game. They're not just going to give you the game. So it's going to be I think it's going to be a competitive game, and it may come down to the last possession. I just don't see Jacksonville just blowing you away because, to be quite honest with you, if you look at both rosters, no one has the upper hand when it comes to the Texans and the Jaguars. So I mean, it's going to be a close game, and you know, me being from Jacksonville, hopefully we come out on top.
Well, Leon, great stuff. Appreciate catching up. Hope to do it again, and enjoy week one of the NFL season. It is here.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Leon Searcy, 11-year pro with Jacksonville. Catch him at 1010XL, of course, three-time national champion at Miami.